Okay, before we actually talk about the halachas of the shofar, there's just one thing which 9 out of 10 times if you're going to hear a shir on Kiyah Shofar, then the person's going to ask you, there's a very, very famous yeshiva shred, right, is a shir given on shofar, and that is, what is really the mitzvah of the shofar? Is it to Kiyah Shofar? Is it to blow the shofar? Or is it to just hear the noise coming out of the shofar? This is not just some sort of crazy question like which came first, the chicken or the egg. This actually has ramifications to halacha. For example, a simple ramification halacha is what's the bracha that we make. We know that before we do a mitzvah, most mitzvahs that we do, we have to make, maybe not most, a lot of the mitzvahs that we do before we perform the mitzvah, we have to make a bracha. So the question is, what's the bracha that we're going to make before the shofar and shul? So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the bracha that you should make before you blow shofar is Al Tekiyas Shofar. On the other hand, the Baha'i says that no, the bracha that you should make, which is actually what we do, is Lishmoa Kol Shofar. What are they arguing about? It's obvious that they're arguing about what is the nature of the mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Tam that says that the bracha that you should make is Al Tekiyas Shofar, he thinks that the real mitzvah is to actually blow the shofar, which means that really 99.9% of the congregation is not doing the actual Tekiyas Shofar. They're participants somehow by being part of the tzibur. But if you believe that the mitzvah is shmiat shofar, which is what we say, lishma kol shofar, then the tzibur and the baal tekeha pretty much have equal measure in the mitzvah. Another nafkamina might be is that normally we know, for example, by lulav, you cannot take a stolen lulav and shake it. Why not? So on the first day, there's a special kiyas hakosav, it says lachen. On the second day, the reason why you cannot shake a stolen lulav, does anyone know? It's a concept that you've all heard, I'm sure. Almost all heard. It's called a mitzvah haba be'aveira. I cannot do a mitzvah, like shake my lulav, if it's a result of an aveira. If I stole a lulav, that means it's an aveira. And now to do a mitzvah with that seems apostasy. It's not appropriate to do a mitzvah with an object that was used for an aveira. So rather, you cannot use the lulav. On the other hand, shofar, they tell us that you can use a stolen shofar. Why? The Rambam says explicitly, because you're not stealing when you're stealing the shofar, you're actually just stealing the shofar. But the mitzvah is not to blow the shofar. The mitzvah is only to hear the noise coming out of the shofar, and that's why you can use a stolen shofar. The last ramification that I'll give you, and then we'll go on to a little bit of the halachas, is the following. We know that when we make Kiddush on Friday night, so what do we do with the challahs before we make Kiddush? That's correct. We cover the challahs. There's two reasons brought down in the Taz. One of them is so that we can be like the man. But the most famous reason that we know, why do we cover the challah? We don't want to embarrass the challah. Why? Because really, normally you're supposed to make hamotzi before you make a bor piyagofen. This time we're making the bor piyagofen first. We don't want to insult the challah. Usually the mozi goes first. Now the challah is going to be there and say, wait, what's going on? You're going to make kiddush before you're going to make hamotzi. So we just cover the challah and we say to the challah, pretend nothing's going on, blindfolded, it doesn't know. Then we make the kiddush, and then after we make the kiddush, etc. Same thing, the Be'er Eitav wanted to suggest in Hilcha Shofar. In Tavkav Tzad, the Gimel, the Be'er Eitav said, that since the real mitzvah is not to blow the shofar, the real mitzvah is to hear the shofar, we don't want to embarrass the shofar. The shofar feels like, what? I'm nothing. Really, all you care about is the noise coming out of me. You're just using me for my noise. So, in order not to embarrass the shofar, when we say, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, as opposed to Litkoa, we cover the shofar so that there's no embarrassment felt over there, and everything is peachy, no bad feelings. That is regarding the actual... That is the actual raid surrounding the mitzvah. Now, regarding some of the details itself of the mitzvah. The Torah says three times in the Torah says the word trua. Because it says three times in the word trua, that means that on Rosh Hashanah we have to hear three times, three truas. We have to hear a trua three times. But each time that you blow a trua, in addition to the actual trua, you need to do a tkia before and a tkia after. So it means that a total number of sounds that the shofar has to produce on Rosh Hashanah is only 9. The tekiya, teruah, tekiya, 3 times, because it says 3 times teruah, 9 times. Tachlis, we only have to hear shofar 9 times on all of Rosh Hashanah. That's not what we do. We actually have a minhag to hear it 100 times. Why? Where does that come from? Well, it stems from the following. The problem is that when the Torah says truah, we don't exactly know what a truah is. What exactly is a truah? There's a few choices. Choice number one is that it's a yalala. A yalala means like a continuous up and down cry. it would be more similar to what you call the trua today. Kind of like that. On the other hand, some people say that it's not a yalala, it's a ganach, a ganicha. Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy. So we're not sure, that's what we call shvarim today. So we're not sure which one it is. A third opinion says, you know what, it's not just a yalala, it's not just a ahoy, 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 and it's not just a ahoy, 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 it's both together. So therefore we do ahoy, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's the shvarim trua. We're not sure which one to do. So in order to be yotza all the opinions, we do each one three times. So we'll blow, in case that a trua is really a shvarim trua, so first we'll blow shvarim trua. In case the trua is really what we call shvarim, then we'll blow the shvarim. And if it's the trua is what we call a trua, then we'll blow a trua. So you get a total of 30. So why do we extend it all the way to 100? That's based on the story of Sisra and Shoftim. That's not for now. But Maker, then you only have to hear 9, and then you yotza your mitzvah d'oraisa. Running some of the halachos, so let's get into a little bit of the nitty-gritty details. The halachos are the following. Let's talk a little bit about the tkiya first, and then shvarim trua. The tkiya has no maximum length that it has to carry, no maximum length where you have to cut it off. You can, in theory, blow a tkiya for a minute if your lungs are so inclined to do. You can hold that note for a minute. There is a minimum, however, that it has to be. And the minimum that a tkiya has to be is it has to be at least equal to in length of the trua that's going to be in the middle. So if you're going to blow a shvarim trua, which takes about, which is about 21 beats, and plus which lasts about 4.5-5 seconds, then you have to make sure that your tkiya is going to be at least also 4.5-5 seconds. You can do it much longer than that, but you can do it shorter than that. Why is that significant? That you should know that a tkiya is as long as you make it. All right. If I choose to do a tkiya that lasts 10 seconds, so you might say, wait a minute, Jake, you said that a tkiya only has to last minimum of equal to the shvarim, to the trua. So really, after 4.5 seconds, the tkiya is over. So I don't have to listen to the last 5 seconds of your tkiya because now you're just blowing extra. That's not true. A tkiya is as long as the Baal Tokiya chooses to drag on the tkiya. And you have an obligation to hear the whole tkiya from beginning to end. So that means that when the tkiya starts, you have to start and listen, and you have to wait until the end. If you stop listening after 5 seconds, saying, oh, that's it, he's cleared the 5-second mark, then you're not yotza to the tkiya. You need to hear the whole thing from the beginning till end. If you have the minhag to say Yehi Ratzon, which by the way is not the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, but you'll know in the Sidurim, in the Machzorim, it says like a little bit of a prayer. Between the tkiyas, it says, you know, may you do X, Y, and Z, may you do, and the sake for the angels, and this angel, and that angel. I don't know what any of it means. Maybe Rav Uri can help you. But, angel. But some people have the minhag to say it. The minhag of Eretz Yisrael is not to say it, and in fact, some people think that it's halachically inappropriate. But even if you do have the minhag to say it, and it's what you've been doing in shul your whole life, you have to make sure not to start to say it until after the tkiya is over. Meaning, once the is over, only then can you start the hiratzen. Because if you start to say the hiratzen in the middle of the tkiya, you're not paying attention to the tkiya, and you have not fulfilled your obligation, the oraita, of hearing the shofar. Instead, you've just fulfilled some sort of Zohar Kabbalistic obligation of saying the hiratzen, which is not as good as having the oraita obligation. That is in terms of the tkiya. In terms of the shvarim, so here there's two different types of minhagim. There's the minhag of Lithuania and the minhag of Hungarian Jews and Polish Jews. Now, I myself am Hungarian. I am not Hungarian, but my mother is Hungarian, born and raised, and my father is Polish. So they're both from the same region. In the region where they come from, Hungary and Poland, so the shvarim is probably that which you're accustomed to hear. It's a simple two, three colons. However, in Lithuania, the minhag was not to do three kolos like that. It was a little bit more complex. Maybe they had a better sense of music. And their minhag was to do tu-hu, you feel like a fool standing up and making all these sounds, by the way. Kind of like when you have to go to the mechanic and you have to describe to him what's wrong with the engine. I don't know if you guys drive. Well, I drive, and I just recently had to go to the mechanic, and I had to describe to him the sound that the car is making. Yeah, okay. It's like, I didn't, can you do it again? Anyway, it's very embarrassing, so I kind of feel like that now as well. But anyway, I did that as a mate. So the Lithuanian Jews have a minhag to do tu, and up and down, maybe even up, down, up, down, up, down, it doesn't matter. The point is that it's not a straight noise. It's not a it's a broken noise. The shvarim is a broken shvarim. So the minhag in Eretz Yisrael and the minhag of the yeshiva in years past has been that we normally did, again, like I told you, Hungarian and Polish, that's who I am. So we did the plain, the first out of the 100 kolos that we were saying, instead of the first 60, we used to do the plain shvarim. And then for the last 40, in order for the litvaks in the room, and because it is also minhag agra and minhag Eretz Yisrael, to do so we did the last 40 with the up and down. This year we spoke to the posuk of the yeshiva Rav Miller, and he felt that we should probably try to switch it to do 60. So don't panic when you come to shul and you hear the shvarim that are a little bit up and down. Be'ezras Hashem, it should go well. They're a little bit it's an up and down. Sound like the Ukrainian. Just the last 40. Those of you that are Hungarian and Polish in nature, or those that simply grew up in American shuls, where that's the way the Baal Tekiah does it, a plain So the last 40 tekiahs, that's what we're going to do in the shul. But you should know that they're both valid opinions. As to how the traditions broke, that's a longer discussion. You could look it up in the Sefer called Man. It was Manim by Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the fifth piece that he has over there in the Sefer. That is the Shvarim. There is one more quick point. We'll skip the Trua. We'll just talk a little bit about the Shvarim Trua. The Shvarim Trua, as I said, they're not sure what the Trua was. Some people have the opinion that the Trua is actually a combination of Shvarim Trua, which means But the question is the transition from the shvarim to the trua. Should you have a pause in the middle or should you not? So again, that's a machlokas haposkim. The minhag, generally speaking, is you probably have never picked up on it, but in most shuls, I think, maybe not in America, but in a lot of shuls they do, it's almost undiscernible if you're not trained and if you're not looking for it. But what we do is the first 30 tekiahs, then the first we begin with the shvarim trua, which is without a break in the middle. We do it doesn't go from the shvarim right into the trua, but there's no discernible break. The last, after the first 30, then we have a slight pause. We'll do very hard to discern if you're not looking out for it. Watch out for it this year. Meretz Hashem, that this year we'll be able to experience Tekiah Shofar like we've never experienced it before in Eretz Yisrael, and the tefillah from the Shofar should be miskabel l'ratzon lifnei avinu v'shamayim.